You might want to open up your Bibles to the Gospels. I'm going to be speaking this morning from the Gospels. I had an interest this week, and I just kept reading the gospel stories, and I'd go back and read them again. And I spent the last couple of weeks in the gospel stories. Why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 20. I'll begin reading at verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. We thank you for your word that we have. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us such a great gospel story, and that you save us not because of our merits, but because of your love and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a blessing. Fill us with the Spirit of God. Touch lives and hearts today and fill the needs. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Interesting story. Some of the statements that are made, I just couldn't get around them. I just kept having to go back to them. It says the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Now, Jesus has been giving these chief priests and elders a real bad time for 3 years. A lot of people heard him. Out in the multitude, they would bring up questions, and they were trying to best him, you know, and try to beat him in arguments. And he would whip them all the time. It's a beautiful thing when you read the Gospels, and I read them over several times in the last couple of weeks. I just wouldn't go in any other place except the four Gospels. And I think some of the things that are said here, I don't know exactly how I'm going to work it out, but I want to show you the different people at their position that they took. And what that caused. Chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Now Barabbas is a murderer. He's a thief. He's a criminal. He didn't done a lot of people wrong. Why would the biggest religious leaders in the nation of Israel want Barabbas freed and not Jesus? Because every time they go up against Jesus, they lose. Isn't it? You might, if you haven't thought of it that way, you might take another ride through the four Gospels and see how Jesus bests them so easily every time.
Right.
They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed by their response. They send out people coming up to him and trying to trick him and set him up. He just beat them all the time. Chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude to take Barabbas. That would be like the president freeing a mass killer. That's what you got right there. He says, why and what evil hath he done? He didn't have any evil. Pilate is going to say several times, I find no fault in this man. He did not want to do it. But now Pilate is a politician. He's the governor. And he is in dealing with these priests and leaders of Israel all the time on all sorts of different things. They knew each other. They knew each other. They worked together because there was a certain amount of government that was taken care of by the Jewish priests and elders. And then you come to certain other things that in the government, like capital punishment, they didn't have the right to do that again. The Roman government was controlling the big issue that you had going there. So the chief priest wanted to kill Jesus. And it was very clear. So they were willing to go for a robber, a thief, maybe even a murderer, in a man, a famous thief named Barabbas. Now when he said, what evil hath he done? Here's what they cried out. I want you to think about this. What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Crucifixion is one of the worst types of punishment there is. I did not realize until I read in the encyclopedia this week, there are a lot of nations right now in the world that are still crucifying people. Punishment for the government. How about that? I would have thought it would have been gone a long time ago, you know. Crucifixion's a terrible thing. And they would, he said it scourged him. He delivered him to be scourged. Well, that means he went to a whip. They whipped him. And that's what they would do. And this whip is not just like a long snake whip, like you do with the horses or something like that. This whip has a bunch of leather strips. And in those leather strips, they embed bones and copper. So they cut little bitty cuts all across your body. Paul said he was whipped 5 times. Wow. To me, it seems very, very horrible. Terrible. What evil hath he done? Well, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. I want to give you an opinion on that. He's not innocent.
Amen.
He just thinks he's innocent. He has the authority. He is the head. He is the governor of the province. These priests could not do anything without his okay. And by the way, Pilate is responsible for the crucifixion. The priests couldn't do that. They didn't have the power. So Pilate says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. No, no, you're not innocent. He should have listened to his wife. This is one time a man should have listened to his wife. His wife said, leave that man alone. Don't mess with this. But he went ahead anyway. Just because these priests wanted it. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, think about this. Would you like to make a statement like this? His blood be on us and on our children. Wow. That sort of shocked me as I read it again. I read this book for 60-something years. Well, more than that, but I read it intensely 60-something years. His blood be on us and on our children. You know what? A lot of the problems that people have come on them because God lets punishment go through a family down the line. The thing, you becoming a drunk or you becoming a thief or you going to prison, that affects your kids. That affects your mother and dad. That affects your friends and family. That affects your country. You don't just sin by yourself. You don't just violate the rules of law by yourself. You're infecting other people. You are causing problems for people that didn't do anything about it. But the idea that they made this statement is something they had not thought about clearly. His blood be on us and on our children. David was a great man of God. He committed sin. And it affected his family. It affected his children. It affected his reign. And affected his life all the way down the line. He was a great man. He was a genius. He was a great poet. He was he created musical instruments. He was a great warrior. He was a tremendous soldier. As a teenager, he goes up against a 10-foot giant. Goodness gracious, what a great man. Christ comes out of the lineage of David. Many of your Psalms, I don't know exactly how many were written by David, but quite a few. Spurgeon thought most of them were. You know something? This man had a knowledge of God like few people outside the New Testament had. You read his Psalms in the Old Testament, it's like Isaiah. Isaiah and him had a clearer picture of the gospel that you and I rejoice in right now than many of the other writers in the New Testament. But his sin, and when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he probably had 50 wives. You understand? He took another man's wife, and he was an absolute king, and he paid for it the rest of his life. And he paid for it in his children and his grandchildren as they went down. His blood be on us. I sure don't want the blood of somebody's sin on me or my children. I looked at some of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren up here singing here just a little bit ago. Hey, that's beautiful. I love it. I love my family. And you know, it would just hurt me if I did something that would cause them pain in the future and in their life. If you're going the wrong direction and you know God has brought you to a place to recognize it, man, get out of that direction as fast as you can. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll just let my children and my grandchildren put his blood on us. Boy, what a selfish person you are. Things you do right now will affect you 20 years from now. They will. You can repent and get forgiven, but if you lost an arm in that wreck when you were drunk, you're going to have the same arm gone. And it's not going to be put back on. And if they put one on, it won't work the same as the one that you got right now. His blood be on us and be on our children. Man, what a terrible thing. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he'd scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Scourged Jesus means whipped. But it doesn't just mean whipped with like a whip like you, a fellow that would take riding horses or in a wagon train or whatever like that. This is that whip with, it's got a bunch of leather ends to it. And in those things are the bones that they embed in there. At this time there was probably copper that the metal would have been. But what that does is that cuts a lot of places on you. I've seen what slaves look like after they were whipped and had their backs pictured. Wow. I can't think of a worse way to die than to be scourged and crucified. It impressed me. Really did. He said, when he scourged him, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers, it's verse 27, of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. Well, now that's where a lot of other people could see. And gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This was a common affair. This was capital punishment. You see in some of the old Western movies, and they'll have five or six ropes hanging down where they're going to hang some prisoners or some killers or whatever. People came out. They really did. They came out. They brought the lunches with them. They sang. And as you can tell in some places, they had a preacher preach. And they're there at the hanging. They're hanging somebody that has done something so bad that the common people are glad to see them being crucified or hanged. Well, that's what this crucifixion was. They crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. A lot of what's happening right here is according to prophecy. Go back in the Old Testament to Psalm 22. I'm not going there right now. I'm just telling you, thinking, go back and look at it. And look at what it tells you about him. Way back then. Even Psalm 22 would give you some idea of the things that are going on. Now they put up, verse 37, they set over his head his accusation, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now that didn't make the Jews very happy. They did not want him. Said he claimed to be. That wasn't what the sign said. The sign said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified with him. One on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by, you know, it's amazing what a crowd will do. Now some of you, when they decide to have a great big gathering downtown, you're ready to go. I'm not. I don't like crowds. I don't like crowds that are having an attitude. These thieves and criminals get into these crowds and they break into the stores and steal things and break things. They shoot people. They drive cars over people. You want to go to that? I don't want to go to that. Well, this is something like what's happening in this case with Jesus. People passing by, and they cuss him, they spit on him, they clamor at him. What a sad story that is. What a sad thought that is. I don't want to be a part of a crowd like that. Do you?
Amen.
I don't want to be a part of a crowd like that. I don't think to go. I've only been invited to one execution in a prison, and I didn't go to that one. I didn't want to see it. I didn't need to see it.
That's
If he'd done what was wrong and that was his just punishment, go ahead and punish him. I'm for that. I'm for the death penalty. I really am. I think there are a lot of people. My wife was for the death penalty for child molesters. She said, because when you turn them loose, they're going to do the same thing again. And she said, you just got to have to kill them. And that sweet, lovely little wife that I had, she was all for capital punishment. They crucified him in part of his garments. Verse 37, they set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple." And buildest it in 3 days. They didn't realize what he said. They didn't realize what he had said. He said he was going to rise in 3 days. And his body is temple. "But thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." We want you to come down for us to believe in you. Why, amazing thing. "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." They said it was 46 years in building. How are you going to build it in 3 days? Well, they just didn't have the right interpretation. "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now, likewise, can you imagine your religious leaders? Look at verse 41. "Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders and said," this is a tremendous verse, 42, "he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Wow. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Do you realize that they did not understand what they were saying? But they were saying the actual truth of Christ and the cross. If he comes down off that cross without making his blood sacrifice, he can't save any of them. We're saved by the offering of Jesus Christ once for all. You're saved because Jesus took your punishment. You're saved because he took your place. And that's a very true statement. They didn't understand what they were saying. But he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he had have called those 12,000 angels, which they said he could have called, and wiped out the whole place and delivered himself, you wouldn't be saved today. What a tremendous thing. He saved others. Himself he cannot save.
Lord.
"If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." How many things had Jesus already done? You don't read anywhere of anybody having the miraculous powers of Jesus Christ. He interrupted funerals. He had a man dead 4 days that he had him walk out of his grave. He healed people just by the sound of his voice. The man said, "You can come into my house." And he said, "I'll go to your house." And the man said, "Well, you don't need to go. You're a spiritual strong person. All you have to do is say the word." And he said the word. And the boy's life, or the daughter's life, was saved at another village somewhere out there. Because he could give the word. And he had the power of the word. Wow. "If thou be the Son of God." Well, he claimed to be the Son of God. Yes, he did. "Come down from the cross." And the chief priests and the mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. No, they wouldn't. How many times he had proved himself over and over again for 3 solid years. The reason why they hated his guts is because they couldn't win. And he was opposing some of their authority.
Amen.
The thieves also, look at verse 44, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. It says thieves, plural. Now there were only 2 thieves. But it says the thieves cast it in. You know, what is it about somebody being down and other people jumping on the case? Bullies. Always in my life, I've hated the idea of bullies. I didn't want to be a bully, and I certainly didn't put up with a bully wanting to push me around. Here's a man being crucified. You're being crucified with him. And because the crowd is walking by, spitting out their venom, you join them. Isn't that something? He trusts, verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 45, now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over the land unto the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God took his sacrifice for sins right here. That's where my sins were paid for.
Thank you, Lord.
That's where your sins were paid for.
Amen.
Wow. Some of them stood by there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let be. Don't give him a drink. Let us see whether Elias will come. Let's see if we're going to get a miracle out of this. Let's see if Elias really will, we might see a real show today. Have something to talk about the rest of our life. Remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. That's the Pharisees and the priest coming to Pilate, verse 63. That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the 3rd day. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, and this is a tremendous statement, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. I think Pilate might have thought they might not be able to keep it there. You have a watch. I think here's some soldiers. Go your way now. Make the grave as sure as you can. Well, they made it as sure as they could. And he rose anyway. And he rose anyway.
Amen.
Look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 15. 15 and 16. They cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Who said that? The chief priest. Wow. We have no king but Caesar. Go to Luke. Chapter 23, verse 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And he said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know I find no fault in him." Pilate is the judge. He has the authority. He's the only one that can give the authority to kill him. And he has said several times, "This is an innocent man." Evidently he tried to deliver him, but he didn't deliver him. Could he have? Yes, he could. He would have had those priests mad at him, but they were mad at him about half the time anyway. Here's an innocent man, and he says, "I'm going to wash my hands. I want to show you that I am free of this man's blood." No. No, you really aren't. The buck stops here.
Yep.
You're the man with the authority to stop it. You could turn him loose. You didn't even have to scourge him.
That's right.
Didn't have to do all those things. You're the judge. Mm-hmm. You have the power. Well, maybe you don't have the guts. I know a lot of people with power with no guts. Sometimes we just have to think about our own responsibility. There are days that you have to make a decision. There are days that you're in Pilate's place. Do you make the right choice? I hope you do.
Amen.
In Luke 23, verse 33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And he parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also." The rulers are out there. These same priests have gone on out there to the crucifixion. They're able to see what happened to the Lord Jesus. He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 36, "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.' Verse 38, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew." They wanted everybody to see it. "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Pretty selfish prayer. But the other, answering, rebuked him, said, "Dost not thou fear God? You're spitting at Jesus, and he's an innocent man, and you know it. We're thieves and deserve it. He's not a thief, and he didn't deserve it." Verse 41, "For we receive the due reward of our deeds, and this man hath done nothing amiss." Don't you fear God? And then he looked up at Jesus and said unto him, verse 42, it's one of the most tremendous verses, 42 and 43 here. I really rejoice in these verses every time I read them.
Amen.
"Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't have time to repent, or to do any penance, or to pay back anybody, or to turn around and change his life. He's dying. They're not going to let him off that cross alive. At the very last, they will kill him if he's not dead. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And verse 43 is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. And Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, surely, I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe this one guy got saved. I may not know whether or not you're saved or not, but I'm pretty sure he was saved. He prayed the right prayer at the right time in the right place. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, if you call upon him and ask him for forgiveness, he'll save your soul, change your life. He turned my life around in one day. I was 20 years old in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. I got convicted of my sin. I went to a church and it looked like the church, the pastor that preached that message, had been talking to my wife. I know he hadn't, but he knew that much about me. And there wasn't just 100 people there. There was 500 people in that room. That was the attendance on the days. But he preached a sermon and put his emphasis in places where I knew. How did he know that about me? Well, he didn't. God did.
Yep.
God did. I went home, didn't want to go back to church that night. Verlene is really full with Billy. And we got Eddie. And I said, we'll take the kids, whatever. No. I said, Verlene probably doesn't feel good. She won't want to go to church. She said, I want to go. So we go to church, and the Holy Spirit singles me out. Convicted me of my sins. I knew I was lost. And if I died, I'd go to hell. But there was a gospel invitation given. I went home. I didn't get saved at church. I went home. Now my wife, some of you know her very well and some of you don't know her at all. My wife liked to go to bed at 9 o'clock and get up at 4:30 every day. And I'm singing in the bed. Old hymns that I knew from Sunday school and church. And she said, Lyndall, if you're going to sing all night, would you go into the other room? And I walked in the other room and there was Eddie. Lacked 7 days being a year old. I loved that boy. I was proud of him. My dad didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He did smoke. He was a very good man. I drank and smoked and cussed. And I thought about it. My daddy, who didn't cuss, didn't drink, didn't run around on my mother. And I'm his son, and I turned out, I cuss and I drink and I smoke. If this little boy, this little baby, sat there in that bed, sleeping down, that beautiful little kid, if he turns out in proportion to me as I turned out to my dad, he's going to be the devil himself. You got to think about it sometimes. And I said, I must be a sinner. I must be a sinner. And I got on my knees and started praying.
Amen.
I prayed for about 2.5 hours. I didn't just pray, God forgive all of my sins, which I could have done. I brought them all up. I know I was wrong here, wrong there. Forgive me for this, forgive me for that. At the end of that 2.5 hours, I was saved and knew it. And I surrendered to preach the gospel. All in one day. I am so thankful for my friends that insisted, and Verlene, who was full with Billy. She said, I don't mind going to church. I'd like to go to church. And we go, and I hear the sermon that was aimed directly at me. 500 people in that auditorium. I'm sitting way back over there, about the last 2 or 3 pews in that corner of this Calvary Baptist Church in Roswell, New Mexico. But the Lord just pointed me out. I got saved, and you know what? I'm still saved.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I'm happier about it now than I was then. I'm pretty close to death, probably. 87, a lot of you aren't going to reach 87. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I think about it when I lay down on the bed at night. You know, I don't really want to go in a car wreck or go in a house of fire. I would just sort of like to lay down on my pillow and say, hello, Lord, when I wake up. I'm saved and I know it. Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus stayed on the cross. Jesus came up out of the grave.
Thank you, Lord.
What a beautiful story. I've been impressed with it. I may not have done it justice in my sermon today, but I've been impressed the last 2 weeks. Reading it over and over and over and over again. Wow. Salvation by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not by my good works or my good thoughts or even my great repentance.
Amen.
And I've been preaching the gospel ever since.
Amen.
I hope to preach until the day I die. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Are you saved?
Amen.
Yeah, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not saved, you can be. I have been in prisons preaching and offering to murderers, child molesters, any other thing that you can think imaginable, that Christ can save them if they'll call upon Him. That's a great story. It's not being better than somebody else. It's taking the righteousness of Jesus Christ as your only hope of eternal life.
Amen.
And that's so beautiful. Because He's righteous.
Amen.
I'm not. I don't know how I will ever be. I'm looking forward to it in eternity. You can be saved today.
Amen.
You can have everything you've ever done forgiven today. If a thief on a cross, without an opportunity to give a testimony or be baptized or live for Jesus or repent or redo some works that need to be done, could get saved by simply calling Lord. You can be saved today.
Amen.
By that same Lord.
Amen.
He's in the business of saving souls. What's more valuable? Billy was talking about a lot of things that people think are valuable in this life. I can't think of anything more valuable than eternal life. All my my fun comes from being alive. Doesn't yours? I want eternal life. I don't want eternal death. Do you want eternal life?
Amen.
Well, quit hesitating. Take Christ today, right now. Ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
Father, bless this word to some hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.